This is Matt Wells at UN News. Face masks, a million of them, are just some of the precious cargo being dispatched to all corners of Africa by the UN as the continent braces for the spread of COVID-19. Managing this huge task is Amer Daoudi, Senior Director of Operations for the World Food Programme, or WFP. In an online interview with UN News' Daniel Johnson, Jordanian national Mr. Daoudi takes us behind the scenes at the agency's humanitarian hub in the Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa, where a UN-wide supply chain operation is now in full swing.
The flights came, some came from China and some came from Dubai. It was a combined shipment of Jack Ma Foundation and WHO-owned supplies. They arrived in Addis on Tuesday, and from there we are moving all the consignments to almost 50 countries across Africa. So far, we have moved up to 30 countries, and every day we are completing that consignment.
Right, so on the ground then, from Addis Ababa, you've reached around 30 countries, as you say. What's the final figure for Africa? Is it every African country? Which ones have called for help, and how is the decision taken about which ones are helped?
Look, the consignment is going to all the African countries in accordance with the population, in accordance with the needs. But the most in need are where the number of cases are flaring up. We have cases in West Africa, in Senegal, as well as in Southern Africa.
And flights today, just to give me a picture of actually what's happening on the ground in Addis at the humanitarian hub.
Yeah, everything is working. We allocate the basically parcel or kit, the cargo, in accordance to a flight route that we have. So the planes will depart Addis and go to multiple of countries, come back and pick up again another load and go to multiple of countries. Of course, we're using several airplanes in order to reach a maximum. I think today the plan is for 30 countries to receive their allocations today.
And what particular protocols are in place to prevent COVID-19 transmission?
We follow all the procedures in terms of the guidelines of WHO, the national health guidelines that are in place, the social distancing. But we also are, in a way, even when we transport cargo, we put every measure in place, including spraying the planes, ensuring that there is no cross-contamination, even from parcels coming. So we follow according to IATA, according to ICAO. We are abiding by these rules to the letter.
In terms of what happens to the aid when it reaches the country in question, how is the aid distributed and how are you sure that it's getting to where it needs to go?
It's handed over to the Ministry of Health or the respective authority of the member states. It's not exactly going to UN agencies and or NGOs. This is going to member states and the government authorities. WHO, in coordination with the local government authorities, ensures that all the aid or all the assistance in terms of medical supplies goes to where it is needed.
Could you say this is an historic sort of arrangement, a show of solidarity in terms of keeping supply chains going? Because the Secretary General has expressed a lot of concern about global supply chains when COVID actually hits, because yes, there are African countries that have been affected already, but it's really nothing compared with what is going to happen.
This was the first test flight from Addis Ababa. It was the first test for the international hub as a transshipment point to the rest of Africa, but also in terms of passenger, because as part of our response to COVID is enabling the humanitarian and the health responders to reach the countries. And we are going to be using Addis Ababa for establishing a passenger service. Again, to East Africa, we'll be establishing multiple passenger services. Because as you know, commercial air traffic is more or less suspended. So we will be establishing these passenger services to ensure that health responders, humanitarian workers, and all the personnel needed to mitigate and fight this virus can arrive in countries where they need to be, and they can also leave where they need to go. So we are enabling the humanitarian and the health responders to be able to mitigate against this virus.
This is Africa we're talking about. So how is the World Food Programme helping places like Yemen and Syria?
Well, part of the Addis hub will also be providing, it's not only for Africa, we will be using part of the Addis hub as well for Yemen, for example, but this is not the only hub. In Africa, we will have one in Accra, one in Addis Ababa, and one in South Africa. We have a hub in Subang in Malaysia for Asia, and we have a hub in Dubai for the Middle East, and we have a hub in Panama for Latin America, for Central and Latin America. So these hubs are all going to be coming online as we speak. and they will service their respective regions, both in terms of cargo as well as in terms of personnel.
The eventual aim is to help, what, 95 countries in total?
Well, actually, probably it's going to reach almost 120 affected countries. So we have the capacity to scale up as needed, of course, if the funding is provided.
Of course. And how much funding do you need? You're asking for, what, $350 million? How much do you have so far?
$350 was initial request. Now we are revising these figures depending on the data that we are getting in terms of supplies. As the sourcing and manufacturing increases, we will be increasing our air assets in order to make sure that the supplies get in time to the affected countries and to the countries that need it.
There is concern that COVID has disrupted supply chains for existing crises, you know, because obviously there are existing humanitarian emergencies.
Yeah.
What's your response to that?
Actually, it has disturbed our supply chain. It is having an impact on the upstream where we buy food from multiple of countries. We are starting to see ban on exports, and we are facing these type of bans in multiple of countries in Asia where we buy rice from. In other cases downstream, we see the border closures, a reduction in the capacity to discharge vessels, and so on and so forth, and we will see more of that. However, we are putting mitigating measures such as working with several governments to ensure that not only humanitarian cargo corridors remain open, but also commercial, because it is as important that we have commercial traffic flowing freely. Otherwise, the numbers of people that will need assistance will double and triple, because the population that has the ability to purchase food, if they cannot find it on the shelves in the supermarkets and in the shops, we will have a huge problem. And because of the lockdowns, we are also noticing that even our ability to operate in some of the ports is very much reduced because of the lockdown.
Where exactly?
Pakistan is one example. In Asia, we have several countries that have banned rice exports, where we buy rice usually from.
Just remind me how many planes you actually have on the ground in Africa, in Latin America, in the different hubs, please.
Well, WFP has a range of cargo and passenger aircrafts, plus or minus 100, if you will. But for these, we are chartering specific types of aircrafts. Cargo aircrafts from China, 747. We will need at least 8 now. We have also using Ethiopian Airlines for the hub in Addis. We've used another commercial outfit from Accra, because WFP does not own the assets. We rent them on the market.